Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Good day to you, beautiful people. I'm so thankful that you have chosen to join me for the next 30 minutes of the No BS Bishop. I'm Alive to Love. All lesser values than love devolve into manipulation, shame, blame, or in some form or another, control of others. No way, no how am I on this earth to do anything less than love, because I know everything else just kind of becomes BS. Bait and switch, or other things if you want to attribute that to BS, but the point is, love alone is credible. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy to cause pain for anybody. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I'm simply unavailable for anything else than love. So what I want to invite you to is to be unavailable for anything less than love. Just keep love as the standard, the true north, the target, the bullseye of your life. Keep love there. That doesn't guarantee you're going to hit the bullseye every time. No different than if you were shooting darts and you were trying to hit that bullseye. We're all trying to hit the bullseye, right? But that simply means you're aiming. It means that you're focused. You're learning how to balance your body so that you can get to that bullseye. It means that you're learning how to sustain a manner of life, a manner of living that is loving. So that's why I keep saying, I'm alive to love. I'm not on earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, sleeping, trying to regain energy to do anything that would cause pain to anybody. Does that mean I don't cause pain to people? No, I have. I've caused plenty of pain for plenty of people. But I am alive to love so that if I am recognizing in myself that I've caused some pain, great or small, I'm going to change my behavior. I'm going to repent is the word we use in church. Repent. Well, all repent means is change your mind. Change how you think and you'll change how you live. So I'm here to be alive with plans. I'm here to be alive for dreams and designs that are locked into anything and everything that is love. And I'm just unavailable for anything less. Once again, I want you to be assured. I do not pretend to be perfect at love. I'm a pilgrim. I'm on a journey. I'm reaching. I'm aiming. I'm seeking day by day to adjust how I live, how I think, and how I behave so that it is more in line with love. I want every day to be better than the day before. And I recognize that some of my days due to, weariness or sickness or busyness, whatever else there may have kind of come my way and gave me a speed bump, that if I fall back on any given day, well, then I'm going to double up on the next day, and I'm simply going to be unavailable for anything less than love. Today is Ash Wednesday, the beginning of Lent 2022. Lent. This is the season that in Christianity and in churches around the world where we, a lot of traditions show up for church on Wednesday night. And they have a little ash put on their forehead as a sign of repentance, as a sign of seeking to better their life from what it was the year before. Lent, Robert Schuller, many years ago, created an acronym that I really liked with Lent, L-E-N-T. Let's eliminate negative thinking. He was right on the money. It was so simple and so true. Lent is to repent. To repent is to change your mind. To change your mind is to eliminate negative thinking. Moving your mind from the darkness to the light. Moving your mind away from pain to healing. Moving your mind away from hate to love. To be alive to love means I've changed my way of living and adjusted my sights, my target, how I am going to sustain my life. So, I'm not Robert Schuller, but I'm Bishop Randy Dean, and I just want to change the acronym LENT Lent for this new season of Lent in 2022. I want to change it to love eliminates negative thinking. So let's go at that a little bit backwards. First of all, if I have negative thinking, and I do, and I know you do too, if there's anything negative in me, then I know that it's a point of reference for love. If negativity has got my attention, then I need to see that that negativity is looking for love. Somehow, I'm being invited to love better, love deeper, love wider, love more intentionally, and love with more definition, to define how I'm living by loving. Martin Luther King Jr. said one time, there can be no deep disappointment where there is not deep love. I've been deeply disappointed a number of times in my life. It's not that that if you love, you'll never be disappointed. In fact, if you love, you are really going to find yourself disappointed, because as Dr. King says, there can be no deep disappointment where there hasn't been deep love. Deep love is almost a guarantee. I'll take the word almost out of there. Deep love guarantees the potential of deep disappointment. So should I stop loving? Well, good heavens, no. It means that I'm going to eliminate negative thinking. Love eliminates negative thinking, L-E-N-T. So for in Lent for 2022, I invite you to love and let love eliminate negative thinking. So if there's disappointment, then allow love to find its way through the paths of your thoughts. Give love a chance to search your mind, search your heart, to see if there be wicked ways, selfish ways, means of just serving yourself. Where we find love, we'll find the capacity to change, to give people another chance, to give ourselves more so than anything another chance. One of the reasons we don't give other people a chance is that we don't give ourselves a second chance. A second chance comes from seeing that you're human and you made a mistake. Now give yourself another chance. And if you can give yourself another chance, you're likely to give other people another chance. Recognizing that nobody else is any different than you, nobody else, and you're no better than anybody else. So giving yourself another chance means you're making space in how you prioritize your life for other people to get a second chance. Maya Angelou, a great poet and African-American philosopher, said, "Love recognizes no barriers. Love jumps over hurdles, leaps fences, penetrates walls to arrive at its destination full of hope." Love recognizes no barriers, jumps over hurdles, leaps fences, penetrates walls to arrive at its destination full of hope. So what that says to me is that love is I almost think of that in terms of the old Superman introduction to the black and white TV. Look up in the sky, is it a bird or a plane? No, able to leap tall buildings at a single bound. That's love. It's super. It's superwoman, superman, superboy, supergirl. Recognizes no barriers, leaps buildings with a single bound. It gives no way to think that negativity is going to win. Love says love always wins. I wrote something some years ago that I hold on to. I think about it a lot because I know this is true. The more I reach for faith, the more doubts fly in my face. You know, faith really does put a magnifying glass on my doubts. It sets me up to examine my doubts. See, this is why churches celebrate, or not the word celebrate isn't the right word, but we respect and honor the season of Lent because we do some healthy introspection. So I found that when I reach for faith, when faith is necessary and I've got to live by faith, well, it puts a magnifying glass on my doubts, and it seems that doubts just fly up in my face. So I have to see that faith isn't the invitation to just, be suddenly without any doubt. Faith is an invitation to look hard and to examine my doubts. And I wrote this as well, when I hope higher, disappointments will try to weigh me down. Hope is a It's a very tender human emotion. I put hope in the emotional sphere of the human experience because hope is exciting. And when hope is dashed, hope is deeply painful. It hope has an awful lot to do with our emotions. And so I do believe we need hope, and I do believe we've got to watch our hope so that we can keep hope up. I'm known for saying, hope up, everybody, hope up. Someone may say, I just got my hopes, or don't get your hopes up. And I feel bad that I got my hopes up. Well, let me help you with that. Keep your hopes up even when they're falling. Fight for hope. When I hope higher, disappointments will always try to weigh me down. Once again, it's just like faith. When the more I reach for faith, the more doubts fly in my face. And when I hope, disappointments fly in my face. They try to weigh me down. The point is, when hope is a focus, then you'll be reminded of your disappointments. There's a reminder of when I had my hopes up and they fell. It's not to say you shouldn't hope again. It's to say, let's try again. Let's get back on the bicycle. Remember when you had to learn how to ride a bicycle? you had to fall, skin your knees and your hands, get back on the bicycle, get somebody to help you, show you how to do it, and ride that bicycle. You know, I have a vivid picture in my mind of the first time I rode a bicycle. It was in the backyard of our little house in Milwaukee. And at the time, so this would have been about 1957, 58. So I was about 4 or 5 years old. They took the training wheels off this bicycle. And we went to the backyard. And my brother held the bicycle for me. And he pointed where I should aim with the bicycle and, you know, gave me all the little instructions on how to keep that bicycle in balance. All right, so I pedaled off. I got 2 or 3 circles of my pedals turned, and I was starting to feel the equilibrium of that bicycle. But then suddenly, I with my excitement, the bicycle tipped to the right. And when it did, I didn't compensate quickly enough. And I fell right into a rose bush. Oh, yeah. I fell right into, it was like, of all that backyard, there was one place where you could fall and really get hurt, and that was into that rose bush. And I fell into that rose bush. I have a vivid memory of that. Though it was 60-some-odd years ago, I vividly remember toppling over into that rose bush. And I cried, and I moaned and groaned. But I got back up because I remembered, now listen to this carefully, I remembered those few moments prior to that tipping into the rose bush. I remembered how much fun that felt, how free I felt to have that bicycle balanced. So when I hope higher, disappointments will try to weigh me down. But hope is that excitement that says, oh, I'm doing it. Now, the more I reach for faith, the more doubts come up, the more I reach for hope, the more disappointments come up. But love, well, that's when fears and rejection will be tempted to throw a fit in your presence. Fears and rejection will say, wait a minute, no, 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 not love again. And if I'm going to let love eliminate negative thinking, L-E-N-T, in this Lenten season, then it's incumbent and important for me to fight back and say, I know fear. I know fear. I know rejection. I've met those two evil twins, fear and rejection. I've seen what they can do to me, and I refuse to let them own any mental, emotional space in my life. Love lifts me above fear and rejection. When I reach for faith, doubts will come at me. When I reach for hope, disappointments come at me. And when I reach for love, that's when fears and rejection throw a fit in my presence. And I have decided this. Love eliminates negative thinking. I've decided, no matter what, faith, hope, and love are always worth the reach. Faith, hope, and love are always worth the reach. Just like me as a little tyke, 4 or 5 years old, when I toppled over into that rose bush trying to learn how to ride a bicycle. It was worth the momentary tears and crying and feeling pain because I had a quick memory in that moment of how great it felt to glide along with the equilibrium of riding a bicycle. And I Never stopped from there, and I bet I've ridden a million miles on a bicycle since. So I'm inviting you on this Lenten season and the season of 2022, the Lent season, let love eliminate negative thinking. When negativity comes, like Maya Angelou said, leap that barrier, jump that hurdle, leap the fence, penetrate the walls, and arrive at your destination full of hope. I'm a church leader, all right? I've been a pastor for half a century. I say to you often in this particular broadcast, I'm offering pastoral counsel here. I'm inviting you to come into my pastor's office, sit down a spell with me, get a cup of coffee, get comfortable, and just listen to some advice that I can give. It's not perfect, but it is by and large the accumulation of many decades of walking people through an awful lot of pain, and my own pain included. I've had plenty of it myself, and I'm inviting you to find a way to be to let love eliminate negative thinking, to be healthier mentally than you were before the moment you came into my office. And as a church leader, I recognize that one of the things we do as church leaders is we have to have accurate theology. Theology is the study of God. It's a fancy word for a simple pursuit. Studying God. Anytime you study God, it's an awful lot like studying the universe. Even though the subject of God is bigger than the universe, but the study of the universe is mind-boggling. It will blow your brain circuits when you consider the enormity of the universe. And by the same token, so is the study of theology. It is mind-boggling. Who is God? How does God live and breathe? Where did God come from? Where is God going? How do we relate to this enormous deity, this divine being? But I have discovered this, and I want you to hear this carefully. If as a church leader, if I'm an expert in theology, but I'm a novice in love, my voice is just a noise. And I want you to understand that I am a theologian, not a great one, not a deep one, but I'm a theologian. I have to be as a church leader, every pastor, every bishop, every priest, every somebody who is in some pursuit of religious leadership needs to be a theologian of some degree. But if we're experts in theology and novices in love, our voice is just a noise. Because love gives theology a reason for being. Love gives theology a sound in our ears that is worth hearing. I've arrived at the station in the season of my life that I am convinced and determined that love alone is credible. Love gives theology a reason for being heard. Love gives theology a reason to have a sound that needs to be spoken into the world. Love is the undergirding foundation and the understanding. It is that which is the stand under us that gives theology any purpose whatsoever. You see, if theology, the study of God, if theology is simply to make us big brain people, if theology is just to give church leaders big crowns on their head and big titles that everybody's got to bow and scrape and kiss their ring, well, then that theology is not worth the air it occupies. Love alone gives theology a reason for being and a sound worth hearing. In this Lenten season of 2022, I'm inviting you to join me to give love the full space in how you think and believe and live and work and be. In this Lent season, allow love to eliminate, eviscerate, vaporize. Let love get rid of, haul the trash out. Let love eliminate negative thinking. Like I said at the top of the broadcast, I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy to cause any pain. I'm alive with plans. It means I'm thinking about this. I'm alive with dreams. It means that I have this space in my mind where I have this great imagination. I can still play like that little boy that was learning how to ride a bicycle when I was back in Milwaukee in 1957-58. I have dreams about love, and I have designs that are locked into anything and everything that is love. I've decided that I'm unavailable for anything less. I know, like with a knock at my door, I'll answer the door, but I have to decide if that door-to-door salesman or that door-to-door religious group or that door-to-door some stranger is even I need to be available to that person or not. I have to decide. I have to make a quality decision. Is this person at my door knocking on the door? Am I available for this person? What I have to do in my living for love alone is to ask myself, am I available for anything less than love? And I've decided, no, I'm not available for anything less. You know how it is. If you have a smartphone and you see a phone number come up on your phone that's calling you, and my phone says potential spam, which is to say potential junk. It's just potential waste of time. I have to ask myself, am I available for this? And I know this. No, I'm not available for potential spam. The same is true for less than love. When I start thinking about bitterness, and when I start thinking about retribution, when I start thinking about my hurts and pains, when I start thinking about how somebody disappointed me or done me wrong, I've got to ask myself, am I available for this? Or is this just potential emotional spam? Folks, Lent is the time. It's a beautiful time. It's a wonderful opportunity to take out the mental and emotional trash. It's a wonderful time to clean out the baggage in your mind. And I'm not suggesting you're going to do it perfect at any one setting. I'm not suggesting that, not for one split second. But I am suggesting that we need an annual spring mental cleaning. You know, we all do a little bit of cleaning now and then. I need to do more than most, I know. But I put a higher priority than physical cleaning on emotional, spiritual, and mental cleaning. Keeping my mental space free of junk and spam and misery is absolutely imperative if I'm going to live a quality life. And I'm here to tell you, folks, I am here to live a quality life. I'm inviting you to join me to live a life of quality, which is to live for love alone. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love, and I'm simply unavailable for anything less. Well, as we close today, we're going to practice a couple of practical things that will help you stay alive to love. One is to breathe well. Yeah, you heard me. Breathe well. The Holy Spirit, Jesus said in John chapter 3, the Holy Spirit is like the wind. You don't know where the Holy Spirit's coming from. You don't know where the Holy Spirit's going. You know, when you're standing outside in a spring day that's just around the corner, yes, it is, you're standing outside and the breezes are blowing. You don't know where that breeze came. What stirred that breeze? What little disruption in the atmosphere caused a breeze to waft across your face? You don't know where it came from, and you don't know where it's going. And the same is true of the Holy Spirit. So when we breathe, you should imagine you're taking in the air of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is that breath of God, the breath of the world around you, the air you breathe. I want you on the count of three to take the deepest breath you can and invite Holy Spirit deeply saturate not only your lungs, but your spiritual being. On the count of three, deep breath. Here we go. One, two, three. Breathe in and hold it deep all the way down to your belt line, and exhale gratitude. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I want to challenge you to do that every day, some level, up to and maybe longer than 5 minutes, to get quiet, to be still, to put your distractions down, and to be a person of good, holy breathing. Second exercise, if you've been here at all, you know what's coming. You know what's coming. And here's what it is. I challenge you to learn how to look people right in the eye. Oh, yeah. Make it awkward. Make it weird. It'll be clumsy. But it'll get better, especially with some folks. It'll get better as you practice the exercise of saying the three most magical words in the human experience. I love you. Those three words, they're amazing. They change the course of history. They change the course of thinking and emotions. They encounter us at a deep level that is so hard to even understand. Look somebody in the eye and say, I love you. Give me a moment right now on this radio broadcast to just say to you, whoever you are, wherever you're at, whatever's happening to you, I love you. There's something there that will shatter the fears. It'll disrupt the negativity. And love eliminates negative thinking. Get out there and give people love so that it gives them a chance to eliminate negative thinking. I'm Bishop Randy Dean. Such a pleasure and an honor to share with you for the last half hour my thoughts on being alive to love. All lesser values are potential BS, so I'm no BS Bishop, and I will be so all the rest of the days of my life. I challenge you now, go out there and do something beautiful, because, oh, baby, ugly has been done to death, and during this Lenten season, let's be the people who are letting love eliminate negative thinking. Happy trails, y'all.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com. And we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/Randy Dean Ministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.